Hello, I'm Lodging Editor Kate Hughes. Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. For this episode, Akash Patel, Chief Development Officer of The Witness Group, and Larry Speltz, Partner and President of the Lodging and Lifestyle Adventures Division of the Indigo Road, join me to discuss how hotels' approach to renovation and construction have changed in light of COVID-19. Let's just start with why might a hotel continue building during a pandemic and what factors go into making that decision? Because so much has shut down, but not necessarily construction. So, Larry, why don't we start with you? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so the main thing for us, we've got three active development projects. Two are non-existing hotels, so we're creating new hotels. One is adaptive reuse, another one's new build, and then we've got a third project that is an acquisition and renovation of an existing hotel. And we had all three of these concurrent at the time that the pandemic began. And one of the important decisions about continuing or not for us is whether or not the debt had closed and on the particular project. And we had not closed our debt. Our construction loan had not closed, and we had not actually begun full-on construction. We had one site, an historic building, that's the Historic Adaptive Reuse Project, where we had begun clean out and preparation of demolition, but we actually hadn't really gotten far into that even. And and we had not closed on our debt on the construction loans. So it was an advantage for us to be able to pause on closing on the loans. We wouldn't have to worry about making interest payments and then continue with the project on the design side. So during the pandemic, while we haven't been actively constructing, we've been designing. So we've been working with our architects, our interior designers, and our branding agencies, completing all of the work for these three independent boutique hotels. So for us, you know, what we'll do is we'll come out of this pandemic, we'll have all of our design and all of our branding completed, and then we'll close on our construction loan, and then we'll, you know, get back to work at the sites.
Great. So it's almost as though you're getting all of your dominoes lined up so that as soon as you have the all clear, you can just go.
That's right.
And Akash, what situation are you in? How has this pandemic affected your construction plans?
Yeah, absolutely. And Kate, thank you for having me on the podcast. And I just want to highlight, you know, obviously all the frontline workers and essential workers, including our own team, for stepping up right now. But I would say we're pretty similar to what Larry is saying. We have eight projects at various phases. Of those eight, six of them are actively under construction where the loan is already closed. So the process is somewhat ongoing. Stopping the construction, at least in our viewpoint, doesn't really make sense. And the reason being is that we're owners of our real estate. We have a long-term view. And I think we have strength in the capital stack. So we don't feel the need to stop the project. We will have to adjust, obviously, our ramp projections. But given we're looking at the long-term viability of these projects and we typically underwrite them fairly conservatively with local lenders, we feel confident in getting through the projects and stabilizing them over maybe a period of, you know, 3 years versus two. For those projects that we haven't closed a loan, as Larry was saying, I think we are going to put somewhat of a pause on it. I don't think it necessarily means we won't do the project. You know, similar to the situation many might be in. We're wrapping up our drawings. We're wrapping up our coordination with our various project managers and subcontractors and designers. And I think at that point, we'll be in a position to determine when the best place is to start the project. But one of the things you will see for those projects that maybe haven't closed their loans at least on our side, we've had a lot of lenders become hesitant to lending to this industry. There may be some select out there, but I think for now they're on pause. And as business resumes and the numbers start to come back, I think they'll start to open lending back up. But I think we're following a fairly similar approach.
As you're going through all these processes, what challenges has the pandemic presented to you? Because I would imagine a lot of these meetings where you're preparing, you're used to being in a room with everyone. So how has the pandemic affected how you're setting your ducks in a row, I guess? Gosh, feel free to continue.
No, absolutely. That's a great question. So it's interesting. Our company, we have a couple offices. We have one in Columbus, Ohio. That's where our management team and our construction team sits. And then myself, along with the investment team, we're in Chicago. And then, you know, our projects are somewhat spread across the country, as are our consultants and vendors. So we have quite a few projects in the Midwest, in Indiana and Ohio, but we also have one in Roslyn, Virginia. So we've already been quite used to working remote. Obviously, being in person, being in the room allows you to get things done more efficiently. But I think with our work and kind of how we've been structured, we've always been kind of set up to be able to keep things moving, albeit a little bit slower.
And Larry, how about you? What's your experience been?
Yeah, my experience has been one where we are doing everything with everyone working remotely and, you know, using Zoom and Microsoft meetings and so forth. And it's been difficult. I personally, and I know I've spoken with some others on our projects, just don't feel like we get the same level of creative engagement being separated, not being in a room together, like Akesh referred to, and it's just not the same. We've pushed really hard. I feel like it's getting better, like everyone's getting used to it. But I tell you, there's something about there's something, you know, kind of basic about the human connection and creativity that just doesn't happen on a Zoom meeting. If that make any sense, call it chemistry, call it mojo, whatever it is, you can't get it through the internet or a phone call. And so I feel like it's definitely impacted, not positively. And I don't think it'll be hopefully inevitably to the detriment of the quality of the outcome of the project. But a good example would be, having a design review or a branding review with stakeholders and the creative agency on Zoom and coming away with an understanding of what was accomplished and then getting the next iteration of the work product based on that call, and then seeing that what you thought you understood was going to happen was not the same thing that the others understood, and you just kind of feel like that wouldn't have happened if we'd all been in a room together. But I don't know.
So when a property is undergoing construction during a pandemic, what other limitations are you dealing with? And if you don't have any properties undergoing construction right now, what limitations are you expecting when things start to open back up again? So Larry, I know you're in the planning stages. Are you planning for that right now?
We are not actively, I'll be honest with you, we're not actively contemplating that in our design meetings. I believe, you know, what's going to happen, honestly, is we're going to rely on the recommendations and requirements of the local authorities in each jurisdiction where our project is located, and then we're going to expect that the general contractor who's going to be responsible for the general conditions at the site to be conforming with whatever the requirements are. And and certainly we'll, I think our role in all of this is that we hold our general contractor accountable for making certain that the site conditions are in conformance with you know, regulations that may come out of the pandemic, and certainly in conformance with best practices for limiting the possibility of creating opportunities for the spreading of COVID-19.
Right. And Akash, how about you? Is this something you're having to contend with or are planning for?
Yeah, I think, we have a variety of projects across, again, as I mentioned, Indiana and Ohio, currently under construction. And for most of them, they're, it's a GC-driven process. And as owners or owners reps, I think we've got to be in constant communication with the general contractors to make sure, appropriate local, state, and federal mandates along with CDC guidelines are being followed. But the limitations of COVID-19 are kind of wide-ranging, and it's been really interesting. I think you can have a scenario in which, a construction worker on site is directly impacted or gets coronavirus, and at that stage, there's a certain set of protocols you would need to follow. But you could also have a scenario where you have a construction worker who knows someone or knows someone that knows someone else, and they were briefly in contact with them. And then it's a process of, how do you really ensure safety? And I think in the case of potential exposure, it's really what the federal authorities have said, which is, test, trace, isolate, and support. So we did have a case where someone that was on our site, their significant other potentially was exposed to it. So we kind of put a pause on the project. Everyone from that team that was on the site that week ended up getting tested. Everyone tested negative, and then we did do a deep clean on the site and allowed the workers to come back. But again, that was all in coordination with the GC. Outside of obviously anything that's directly COVID related, I think the indirect impact can be inspection. So we also had another site where, this was probably the third week of March when states were just starting to kind of shut down and do social distancing. But we had some pretty critical inspections from a timeline perspective where we need the inspections to be done to move forward to the next stage of the project. And the inspectors weren't going out. So, it did kind of hold up our project for a week or two. They're able to do certain things, but not the bulk of the work. And you have to kind of rearrange your schedule. I think the only challenge I see, especially after looking at it for the last kind of 2 months, is in a case where a local jurisdiction kind of shuts down the project, or you have a case where you have to shut down your project for a large period of time, what I'm seeing is construction workers are still fairly busy. So the only fear I would have is, beyond what you need to do to rectify the situation, having a major subcontractor, say, one of your MEP trades, pick up and go to another project somewhere further away, and that impacting your timeline. So I think from that perspective, communication and ensuring you understand the schedule is highly important.
Are any of your projects, are any of them a PIP? Do you have guests in any of the hotels that are under construction?
Yeah, we have a couple that are under construction. And I think, I think with what everything that's happened in occupancy being as low as it is, we went ahead and proactively, as many other hoteliers did, shut down sets of floors. So I think the way to manage and kind of maintain distance between your workers and your guests is to just take entire floors out of inventory and just focus on doing work one floor at a time, if possible, so that the overlap between the touch points is limited or kind of non-existent.
What about supply chain? Because I would imagine getting the things that you need right now are a little more difficult. So Larry, have you had any issues with supply chain and getting the materials you need, or just... because you're probably not at that point yet for your projects, but I assume you're looking ahead.
Yeah, no, actually, the one that's a acquisition and renovation, it's going to be a very fast renovation. The hotel is closed, and we're prepared to execute the renovation very quickly and get it open by end of the summer. And we've run into some issues. We had stone specified that was to come from Italy. And of course, Italy's been hard hit worse than many other countries by COVID-19. And we're discovering that we probably won't be able to use that stone now. So we're having to find a substitute good. And we also on our FF&E package for the renovated guest rooms, we are searching and speaking with different manufacturers through our purchasing agent to get the status of their manufacturing facilities. Are they open? Are they closed down? Are they on partial production? And you know, what's the pipeline look like? So that's a very real concern. And that, you know, that together with what Akash brought up earlier about, you know, relying on the local authorities that you need to come and do inspections or from whom you need to get your permits and things like that. You know, they're working slower. We have one project as a historic tax credit project and all the various agencies that we need to complete the approvals and documentations are, you know, they're not available or they're working very, very slowly. So supply chain and constraints on the public authorities that we need to cooperate with us. So those are all real issues.
Now I want to ask you guys what advice you would have for a hotelier whose property was either under construction or undergoing a renovation, and now it's put on hold. What have you learned from your experiences here that they could use? Akash, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question, and I think probably a variety of opinions in regards to the best approach. I think the reason why the project's on hold is extremely important, but whether you're the GC or you have hired a GC, it's important to understand what your next steps are and what the schedule looks like. I mean, subcontractors, as I mentioned, are very, very busy, and they tend to move from project to project very quickly. But I think safety is a critical priority for all of us. And I think we have to understand the importance of opening a project on its timeline versus risking the safety of others. But I think communication is really all you can do. You can take the precautions you're going to and just understand what the best next steps are. It's easy to get, you know, into the path of being concerned. And I don't know necessarily that long-term that's going to give you a good next option. So I think just understanding what your options are and communicating with who you need to is really going to lead you to the best kind of next step in the short run.
Great. And Larry, what advice would you have?
Yeah. So my advice is based on our experience is to, and it may be too late to deploy this advice for some, but have all of your stakeholders from the, you know, if you're closing on an acquisition, you know, that would be, you know, your seller, and then of course your investors, your lenders, all the creatives for the design and everything. Just have stakeholders and partners who are good quality people that are reasonable to work with. And we've been delighted that we have found in every case that everyone was flexible, was willing to make necessary adjustments, whether it was to a closing date, whether it was to the lending terms, whether an architect on one project realizes that we can't pay the lion's share of their fee until we close on the construction loan, but they're continuing to work, knowing that we have the commitment from the lender and we have all the equity in place and we already own the real estate. And that's a big piece because obviously they've got recourse if you own the real estate, but for them to trust and just have good stakeholders and partners. I think that's the important thing. No one so far has tried to exploit or in a negative way take advantage of the situation.
I would wholeheartedly agree with what Larry said. I think in a time like this, you got to understand everyone's facing different challenges, and having a good set of partners is probably what's going to get you to the finish line. But on the flip side, I would also say, you know, everyone's obviously going to be looking to push their payment terms where it makes sense. But, you know, we also look at it from the perspective of, we've had partners for 10, 15, 20 years, and some of them are also in the situation where they don't have the same type of cash flow. So we use a very balanced approach in which we have conversations with each of them. And in certain cases where we need to work with the bank to be able to pay a certain vendor sooner than later, you know, just as Larry's mentioned, when you have those relationships, you're able to do that and kind of help everyone out at a difficult time.
Well, guys, thank you so, so much for making time today. This has been absolutely fantastic, and I really appreciate it. Stay well.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Kate. Be safe, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you want more content like this, please subscribe to our channel. Or you can listen to Lodging on Demand as a podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.